Happy Sabbath, everyone. So good to see you on this beautiful Sabbath afternoon. I want to welcome you into the house of the Lord. And for those who are visiting with us here, you're not a member, I just want to tell you, you are so much welcomed. In fact, you are so much loved. We wish you would make this a habit. Is that all right? Get addicted to it and come every week. And I just want to also welcome those who are joining us online for worship service today. I want to thank our dear elder that led us through our worship time today, along with our elder Sam as well, and everyone who participated in leading out the service today. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's good to see our sisters here today. I mean, listen, you have a church family who just loves you, all right? And we were just blessed to be able to stand beside you throughout the process yesterday, all right? And we continue to pray for you and your family, all right? All right. Good to see Brother Cruz and his wife here. All right, good to see you. I hope everything is going all right. Or maybe too much of Puerto Rico, that's too much, eh? Well, good to see you all. All right, all right. Today, I'd like you to turn in the Word to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. These series of sermons are directed towards actually what's going on right now, which is one of our focus here at our church is to continue to pray to the Lord in asking Him to bless this church in a way where every person, young or older, can be playing a part in His church. My prayer for the Garland Faith Community Church is that every member see themselves so valuable that they will not settle just for attendance. Are you with me? But they will strive even higher than attending church to actually participating in it. Are you with me? And that's my prayer. And so now that the nominating committee is actually in effect, as we think about you, one of the things that we want to make sure is that you're playing some kind of function within the church of God. When you do so, you're not serving me. You know who you're serving? You're serving God. But when every person play a part, can you imagine how the gospel can go so far throughout this community? And how much everyone can find a benefit within the church. And so during this time, last week and the week before, as we looked at the story regarding the prodigal father, I hope you saw how much Jesus had a love for the flock and had a love for sinners. Are you with me? In fact, He loved sinners so much, He wouldn't just hang with them, but He would give His very life for them. So therefore, should we choose to do less? Are you with me? We should all choose to have that same heart like Jesus did, right? So these sermons are geared towards, I would say, TMI, total member involvement. And so in Luke 12, we find a story in which I would caption being rich towards God. Being what? Rich towards God. All right. Let's pray. Oh, Father, here we are in your presence again. Only because of your grace and your mercy towards us. This life is not guaranteed. Every day is not guaranteed. In fact, each morning when we open our eyes, it's really an expression right there of your amazing grace. Today, we just want to say thank you. And Father, we just hope that you are blessed in all the singing from hearts that just love you, Father, this morning and this afternoon. I hope, Father, you heard the prayers that were prayed to you. Father, our desire is that you received the blessings that we gave today that came from you. Father, this whole experience of coming to church, really, it's just to be a part of a community of believers that give praise to the Almighty God. Father, we cherish all that you have blessed us with in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just want to say to you that we want to be people who reflect him in all that we do. We cannot do that of our own, and so we're here also to ask for help. Bless us, Father, with the power of the Holy Spirit that will bring a transformation in our hearts each and every day. Now, as we open your word, you have a message for each and every one of us today. And we're simply saying our minds are ready, our hearts are ready. And we ask you to just pour within them all that you have for us. May as you teach us, Father, may we not only settle for the words that you will bring to our minds, but may we have a desire to be transformed by them. And may you do that for us today. Father, I commit all that I am into your hands. I have no desire, Father, to get anything from this experience than to have Jesus being uplifted. And I just ask that you do that through my life as you teach me. Teach your people as well. May we all be blessed and transformed in the process, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 12, Jesus shares a story. As I look into the Bible here, it's a story that is encaptured, the parable of the rich fool. But truly, as I think about the story written here, what Jesus is trying to communicate is beyond this man. Are you with me? In fact, this is not a real story, y'all. Are you with me? This is a parable. Jesus is after something deeper than this man. I submit to you that he is after the heart. Are you with me? Where your treasure is, Jesus said, your heart is also. Are you with me? So he's after your heart. He's after my heart. What is the condition of our hearts? Are we rich towards the things in this world? Or do we desire to be rich towards heaven? Are you with me? And so he said, then one of the crowd One from the crowd said to him, "Teacher," in verse 13, you can follow me there, sorry, verse 13, in chapter 12 of Luke. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Speaking to Jesus. Jesus immediately heard something that was completely selfish. In fact, if this brother was a considerate brother, he would have said to Jesus, "Jesus, would you come and visit with me and my brother and help us with this inheritance issue?" Are you with me? That's not what he said. He's without giving Jesus the other side of the story regarding this inheritance. He's simply saying, "Jesus, go get my money for me." Are you following me? So Jesus saw something selfish going on behind this guy. And he's trying to pull him into it. Oh, thank goodness for Jesus. Amen? He's certainly not a fool. He sees on the inside, but he also sees on the outside. We can't hide from him. You know, David tried that and he learned. And one time David said, "If I go to the very bottom of the sea, guess who's there?" Jesus is there. So Jesus, listening to this brother, saw something about him. He said, "Man, who made me a judge," Jesus said, "or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Jesus is a master at this, Elder Stuart. He knows how to look not just at the outward appearance of a person, but he knows how to look and go straight to the heart. Immediately he saw the nature of the heart of this man, that this man was only concerned with things of the world. Are you with me? He loves us so much that even though he saw this problem of this man, he didn't just leave the man right there, right? He was ready to teach the man something, but he was very smart because this man was a part of a crowd. So in getting to the man, he knows that he was about to reach a whole group of people. Are you with me? Didn't the Bible say this man was in a crowd? So one way Jesus loved to teach people, he loves to teach them with parables. You know, it's so amazing because he always uses stories that they can always relate to. So by the end, no one will be left without any excuse. It will be so clear about what he's trying to communicate, all right, that they'll be left with no ambiguity. The point is so clear that he's about to share, and he wants to communicate something with the people before him. And so now he's using the issue with this brother to bring about a message. So Jesus said, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man," are you with me? "Yielded plentifully." This man was already rich. I mean, he had basically what he needed for life and more, correct? He was already rich. He wasn't in need, wasn't in want. He had plenty, the Bible said. Yielded plentifully his ground. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no room for this crop?" Let me back up for a little bit. This is a rich man, already rich, and then above his riches, I would say, he didn't expect it, so to speak. He's already rich, but then something else happened. Are you with me? One day, his field just multiplied with all kinds of goodness. Sister Janet, you see it? All of a sudden, his field just started to grow with good stuff. And then, can you imagine? He never had, the reason why I say that, it's because, as we're about to read, he never had nowhere to put this crop. So it's not like he was planting, right, to prepare for this large crop, all right? If he had done that, he would have thought through it before and be ready for the harvest. But he did not have no plans for this bumper crop. So something happened. I wonder how it happened. He never even thought about how this thing happened. He came upon the riches, and all he could think, as you're going to see right here, is about someone. This rich man, one day, his field yielded plentifully. Now it said, he thought within himself, after seeing all of this thing. Now, this is a thoughtful man. You know what I'm thinking? That this is a very smart man. He thought to himself, he's thinking, he's processing this bumper crop, what to do with it. Are you with me? In my estimation, this is probably a very good Wall Street banker who attended Harvard University Business School and you name it. Very smart, smart brother, Jesus was pointing out. And Jesus said, this man thought to himself, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? What shall I do? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my what? My small little barns, right? I will pull them down and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, so, you have many goods laid up for what? Many years. I mean, can you think of his retirement? I mean, he is sitting good. For many years, and then guess what I'll do? I'll just stop working. I'll take ease, right? I'll retire and find me a nice beach on the Bahamas. You know what I mean? I mean, this is someone who's thinking, y'all. He's processing. He's good with wealth management. And he's seeing things through. And listen, what is wrong with thinking about how to manage your future? So to me, this man is a good processor of his future, except he's not done yet. Take ease, eat, drink, and have a lot of fun. This is plan for this man. I want to submit first to you today of the question that the man asked himself. He said, What shall I do? What shall I what? I counted probably 7 I's in his answer. Are you with me? About 7 I's, Elder Small, when he said, what shall I do? I will do this, I will do that, I will do that and this. And what Jesus is saying to the crowd is, that's what the crowd is like. You're thinking about yourself. Are you with me? Just like this man, he's talking to this brother that came to him. You're all about yourself. Your mind is only on your inheritance. Are you with me? As if that's what life is all about. And Jesus is speaking to them. This man said, what shall I do? And you know what he did? He ignored God. There's nothing within this text where God is mentioned. He will do this, this, that, that. I have made plans like that before in my life. They were never fruitful. Did not bring me any closer to the Lord. Maybe pushed me further away from him. This man right here ignored God and forgot that the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness what? Thereof. So therefore, if the earth belonged to the Lord's, that means the crop that you got came from who? It came from God. You weren't even expecting it. You didn't make any provisions for it. And it came to you, and you didn't even thank the Lord. All you thought about is, what can I do? How can I build a future on this for myself for many years? Are you with me? That's all he was thinking about. And I want to say today that the American dream is nothing less. This Jesus was speaking to a crowd that needed to hear this message. And if anyone need to hear this message today, I believe, is right here in this country. Across the world, certainly. But the lifestyle where we choose to get a career and we put everything on the back to achieve this career. We don't even include God in our pursuit for the career. Because all we can see is at the end of the career, hey, guess what? We have a resume now that we can hand out and secure a job for the future that will certainly bring in not only a salary, but certainly bring in, guess what? Investment in our health care. Certainly bring in a 401k investment. Are you with me? That we can build upon. Now, nothing is wrong with any of that unless God is not included. If we ignore God throughout the process, yes, we might get it, but for how long will it be useful? This man said, hey, listen, I'm going to have many years. Well, second thing I saw here, he was focusing on the temporal. Are you with me? Himself, but then he was focusing on the temporal. Let's go to verse 18 and 19 again. So he said, I will do this, and I will put down my barns, build greater ones, and I will store all my crops and all my goods in them, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many what? For many years. This man didn't know that he didn't have until the end of that night. Didn't know that. He thought that he would have many years to live off the bounty of this crop that he did not expect. And he did not know that that very night would be his last upon planet Earth. Can you imagine? He thought that having the best retirement plan would guarantee a long life. Are you with me? And that very night, his life was about to come to an end. The riches of this world, anything we put our plans in to find security within this world, none of that without God will last for eternity. This man was living life as if God did not exist because he had a bounty. Fuck. He thought that he was in charge. And during that time, made no preparation for eternity. All his preparation in life, all that he was doing, was to prepare for the present, thinking he had many years. Are you with me? So he had a focus on the temporal. The next thing I see here, he did not expect God's judgment. He did not what? Look at verse 20. Verse 20. But God said to him, fool. I want to pause there because you hear the word fool, you might think that Jesus was saying this man was dumb. Are you with me? Worldly speaking, this man was very smart. Isn't that super smart, right? So this man had a good mind, but he had a good mind for the world. Not for heaven. You follow me? So when Jesus is calling this man a fool, it's like when the Bible, when the psalmist says, the fool says in his heart that there's no God. Are you with me? That's what Jesus is speaking about. This man had no interest in heaven, and because of that, he is a fool. He has all kinds of interests here on earth. And he puts all his bag and all his work and all of his life upon what's going on in planet Earth, and nothing he does for heaven. Jesus said, you live a life like that, you're a fool. You may have the biggest house. You may have 3 PhDs. Are you with me? You may have money you can't even handle yourself. But if God is not in the midst of that, you're a fool. Pastor Harris didn't say that, you know. Bible did. So God called this rich man a fool. Right there. Why? He said, look at Jesus. He said, this night, your soul will be required of what? Of you. Then, whose will those things be which you have provided? So in other words, don't forget that God is taking record of every single life on planet Earth, whether we do good or whether we do what? Evil. There is a record of our lives that's been taken. No, the truth is, God is simply saying that every person will fall under the judgment of Christ. And no one will escape that. And so if we choose to live a life without him, then that's our choice. And there will be a time after death when that cannot be reversed. Are you with me? There's no coming back from that. And we don't know when we're gonna die. Are you following the situation here? that this man wasn't thinking about? We don't know when is our day. And so the time to make a decision for God, it's now. No other time but now, when you can. Jesus said, this man lost in so many ways. Yes, he lost his life, right? But guess what he lost? Jesus said, you see, all the plans, all the work you put in without me, all right? And you amass all these things in all these big barns. Guess what? You don't even know who is going to enjoy all of that. Some of your deepest enemies, are you with me, are going to come by and just enjoy it. You worked all your life for all of this stuff, and look who is enjoying your stuff. It's as if this man lost in every direction. Can you imagine that? And that's what sin does to people. That's what a life lived without God as priority does to people. It's as if it fools people to think that this is what is going to be a blessing to you in all respects, but in fact it ends up being a curse. Way down through the generations. And Jesus is trying to put a stop to this before the crowd by telling this parable. He's saying, listen, you lose, and you lose big if your life is lived without me. That's what he's trying to communicate. You lose your own life, but at the same time, because of the way you lived, guess what? It messed up your generation as well. And I want to put a stop to it, Jesus is saying. So I'm sharing this story with you. So he, in verse 21, is coming to the punchline now. He's coming to the punchline. So Jesus said, so is he who lays up what? Treasure for him and is not? So is he who lays up treasure upon this earth for himself and is not rich towards God. So what does it mean to be rich towards God? We can see this man was poor towards God, right? Number one, being rich towards God means, number one, living a life with God. Can we start there? Can we start there? Living a life with God. Let's talk about that right now. Are we living a life with God? Is church just an add-on life? You know, I have a family member. When I talk to this family member, I this is what I hear. I have my lawyer, I have my doctor, I have my this, my that, right? And you know what? I have my pastor. You follow me? So I just want to know, is church just a stop-by or an add-on to your life? When it comes to church, remember, we can't fool God. You got to remember that. None of us can do it. Who created us? You think he's going to create us more wiser than himself? Come on, y'all. We can't fool God. I love, each time I come to a section like this in the scripture, when I'm pondering the meaning of a certain scripture, my mind reflects upon Jesus. You got to train your mind to do that. If you're studying about the Sabbath, you want to know about the Sabbath, train your mind, hey, listen, don't go to T.G. Jakes or Pope this or whatever. Or this. Train your mind to go to who? Jesus. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Did. He did keep the Sabbath. In fact, Jesus said, listen, Mark 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man. Are you with me? I'm looking right now, I can't see it outside, but I'm sure if I go outside, I probably see the sun. Was the sun made during creation week? Yes, it was. The Sabbath was also made. If I can see the sun today, guess what is still here? The Sabbath. And Jesus said it was made not for the Jews. It was made for mankind. It was made for me. It was made for you. Are you with me? Who said that? Jesus did. So I just follow Jesus. No matter what the doctrine is or teaching is, always go back to him and look at how he lived. And so when I look at Jesus' life to find out what does it mean to be rich towards God, I can see clearly what it does mean. This is Jesus' life story right here told in the Bible. And what I do see is a person that was rich towards God in his time. Rich towards God in his treasure. Rich towards God, of course, in his talent. Time. I look at him, just walking every day, serving the people, spending time with God in the morning, spending time with God in the afternoon, in the evening, using his time to be a blessing to others. You want to know what does it mean to be rich towards God? Everything he had, are you with me? He considered a gift from the Heavenly Father. Everything he did, you can see him doing the Father's work, not his work. Are you with me? In fact, he put his Father's work as a priority, and his carpentry business supported that. His carpentry business supported his calling. Are you with me? That's how he lived his life. His life was focused on being all that he can to his Father. And in fact, the day came when he had to make a choice. Whether to go back to heaven, which he could. In fact, he had to stop, Peter? He had to say to Peter, listen, man, I have 12 what? Legions right now that I can call upon, and in an instant they will come and save me, right? But no. What is of greater purpose? It's my Father's business. Being rich towards God, he put himself as not the priority, but he put his Heavenly Father as the priority. In fact, you listen to Jesus sometimes, though you say the work that I do is not my work, but it's the Father's work. In fact, Jesus considered the Father as his source. Remember this man, the source was himself, right? I this, I that. With Jesus, the source was his Father. Question is, who is our source? Our job? Come on, y'all. Our business? The government? I mean, who is our source? Truth is, Jesus' source was his Heavenly Father. Our source should be also our Heavenly Father. In Luke 12, the same text there, Luke 12, in verse 33, Jesus is continuing the narrative, and he made a statement. Listen to this statement. Verse 33. Luke 12. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? Sell what you have and give what? Alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth what? Destroys. For where your treasure is, there your... How about this church? You're here today, I believe the Lord provided the means for you to be here. How about church being not about attendance only, but how about church being just like how Jesus would want it, whereby we're able to serve like he did, because when we do that, we're storing up treasures where? How about the greatest treasure that he has in mind, which is to see every person come to know him, become what motivates us in this life. He came to seek and save the lost, right? And guess what? Heaven erupts each time one person comes to him. And so know what he has in his heart as his treasure. How about that becoming our treasure? That's what I want for my life. I want to be consumed with what he was consumed with. And how about if every person within this church played a role so we can build up heaven with Jesus' treasure? Amazing. There are people in your life I don't know. You have a relationship with them. When you speak to them, they listen. There are people that God placed in our lives that he could work through you to reach them, just like how God placed Daniel in the midst of Nebuchadnezzar, and he worked through Daniel and saved the king. Are you with me? The same thing in chapter 6 of Daniel, he placed Daniel in the midst of King Darius. Are you with me? Work through Daniel and touch the heart of King Darius. You know, God knows how to save kings, you know. He somehow knows how to save the most proud people in life, prideful people. He knows how to change those hearts. And God placed some of us in these people's lives, and he wants to use us so we can store up treasures in heaven, so we can win them for the kingdom. And God is saying for Garland, you know what? That is what I'm about. That's what I want you to be about. We can leave here today and say, you know what, Pastor? I have an exam on Monday. That's what I'm about. Are you with me? I have an issue going on with this and that. That's what I'm about. It's not like God doesn't understand and want to work with us to do those things and do them with excellence, but not to the neglect of his treasure in his heart. Are you following? We can't say we're a Christian and we know the thing that Jesus loved the most and do nothing about it. Nothing at all but come to church. It doesn't work like that, friends. It does show me that in the scripture one day, and sure enough, I would go to God in prayer. I want to see Garland as your pastor. I really do. I want to see us strong for God, strong in our families, and strong in our community. And I would like to see every person playing a role in our church to make that happen. In that way, we can certainly be rich towards God. In the time we spend for God, in the treasure some people Some people come to church, and I'll say this before I share this story with you. But being rich towards God, attending church, yes, but being a valuable player in the church, not just with or work for making disciples, but in our generosity to God. So many people come to church, and you know what? They don't even give to the church. I mean, they spend their money on themselves. Being rich towards God, does that mean that? I mean, you think about it, there are folks who says, "Pastor, listen, I don't have the money." But the widow did. The widow had a mite. Come on, y'all. The widow had a mite, and she gave it. There's some folks, they come to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they're members of the church, and the only thing they'll give is tithe, like the actual statement from Scripture didn't say offerings. I wonder if you're following me. For years, all they'll give is a tithe. Well, praise God for that, but what is the use fulfilling half of a commandment? Come on. Rich towards God means you follow Him fully. In everything you possess, in your time and your treasure. If you're going to give to God, just give to Him fully. You all know the tithe support the work of the pastoral work and evangelism work all over the world. None of it comes to the church. None of it comes to the church. So when you give, and you give your tithe, you're not even thinking about Garland. Can you imagine that? The very church where you have the light, the very church where you have the AC, the very church where you get to hear the powerful word from God, right? And you get to worship God. Let's be real with God. If you're going to give fully to God. A tithe, it doesn't belong to you. Does not belong to you. You return that. But an offering blesses this local body with all the ministries that we do. Are you following me, folk? All of it you see goes on here is from the offering. Some people give a double tithe, meaning they give the 10%, which is not theirs. But guess what they do? They give another 10% to the local church. Some people give 5, some people give 2. It's an offering. Jesus never said a percentage. Are you following? He never gave a percentage. But it says, bring ye all the tithe and offering. So some people only bring the tithe. Don't play that game with God. If you're going to play the game with God, play it full. Play it full. That's how you're rich towards God. Finally, and it's not only just giving to the church, but it's being generous to others. Being generous to others. But you know, sitting right here in the church, those who are online watching, there are people that God has blessed with tremendous gifts, tremendous talents, that can be such a blessing to the church, a blessing to the kingdom, right? And God is saying, are you using that for me? Or are you just using that for yourself? The story is told. Of a conversation between a young man and a wise old man. The young man said, "I'm going to learn my trade." And the old man said, "Yeah, that sounds so good. Then what?" The young man said, after I learn my trade, I'm going to get a good job. The old man said, yeah. What then? The young man said, well, I'm going to get a job, yeah, but I'm going to build up a successful business. The old man said, yeah. And then what then? The young man said, well, then I suppose I'll just make a great fortune. And then the old man said, yeah. Then what? The young man said, well, I suppose I'll grow old. And then I'll just retire. I'll just retire. The old man said, yeah. What then? Young man said, well, I suppose I'll just enjoy my declining years. The old man said, yeah. What then? The young man, somewhat startled, replied, well, I suppose then I'll just die. The old man said, yeah, what then? What then? If you spend your life on yourself, there's no answer to that question. Are you with me? There's no answer to that question. That's it. Spending your life as if God doesn't exist lead only to one place, and that is an eternal existence without God. But if you give your heart to Jesus, and with everything you do, you put Him first, and you live life with Him in every single aspect, in your time, in your treasure, in your talent, that then there is definitely an answer to that question. Because after death, there is eternity for the believer. Amen? There is an answer for that question. And so the question today is this. For all of us, including myself, if there's anyone who would like to say with this pastor and stand with this pastor and say, you know what, Lord? Today, I want to be a person who will live my life being rich towards you. If you'd like to stand with this pastor and declare that before the God of heaven, I'm going to invite you to do so. Father, from this day, I'm declaring before heaven that I want to live my life not just for me, but for you as my God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I'm sure the crowd, including this young brother, got the message that the best life lived is the life that is rich towards you. The best life lived is a life that is so much filled with gratitude for you. I'm sure the crowd got the message, Father, that a life lived without you ends up in nothingness. Doesn't profit anyone to gain the world and lose their soul, but it does bring profit to the person who lays up treasures in heaven. And so, Father, first I want to ask that you'll bless us with your forgiveness this afternoon. Certainly there are times in which we live life making decisions, doing things without even including you. And I'm just asking, Lord, that you forgive us. I'm also asking, Father, that you'd use the message for today to help every person who heard it to make the changes that they need to make now. And the first change for some people here today is to accept you as their Lord and Savior. They have never done that before. And be prepared for baptism. And so I ask, Lord, that you bless those people with that decision. And Father, as we go through this process of selecting leaders and selecting people to help in all the different areas of this church, I just ask in Jesus' name that each of us will see it as an opportunity whereby we can live a life like Jesus lived, a life where we put the things of heaven first, knowing that when we do that, all the other things will just fall into place. And so bless the Garland Church family, all the friends and visitors as well. Continue to give us the joy and the blessings of the Sabbath day. Hear our prayers, we pray in the name of Jesus. Let the church of the living God say, amen. Amen. And amen.